Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A full board meeting and a great day and a wonderful day to celebrate President Saunders. So we'll have that throughout the agenda.
I finally got a chance to go back and finish cutting up the audio from the Board of Trustees meeting at UWF, where they selected Manny Diaz to be the new president, which was then confirmed by the Board of Governors. And, you know, it was an interesting meeting. We talked about some of this stuff previously, but I thought the opening comments by just a student who was there, Damani Turner Ward, really raised a lot of the concerns that the community has had over this question of switching presidents and Manny Diaz coming on board. And, you know, I'll say what I have said many times, which is I think that how we got here was atrocious and really wrong on so many levels. And I'm very frustrated about the way the governor has been handling the Board of Trustees appointments as well. Talk about that maybe a little bit later. But I am optimistic that Manny Diaz himself is going to be quite good. At this point, I'd say you have to be optimistic because the evidence is just not there yet, right? I mean, that's part of the problem. But, you know, I'm willing to look forward. Nevertheless, here was the concerns raised by one of the students, again, Damani Turner Ward, going to speak in the public forum.
I and many others in this community are disappointed by the manner in which UWF's interim president was selected. The purpose of board meetings is to discuss and make decisions on board-related business, such as the selection of an interim president. It is abundantly clear that such discussion and decision-making occurred outside and prior to the May 27th board meeting.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. There was so little conversation, so little answer to any questions around how we got to the point of picking this one person. And, you know, Rebecca Matthews, who's the chair, was very unforthcoming and didn't answer any of the, I thought, very fair questions by Lonzie Scott, one of the longtime trustees, well, one of the holdover trustees, one of the non-DeSantis trustees. And, you know, we deserve better conversation and better openness and transparency about all of these processes.
I find it especially concerning that Chair Matthews would not answer Trustee Scott's question regarding the list of individuals with whom she had discussed Diaz's appointment prior to the board meeting.
Yeah, you remember all that? You know, who did you talk to? Who instructed you? Well, you know, people. Oh, people who worked for Governor DeSantis? You know, who did you talk to?
I believe that this information should be shared, especially as I fear that there has been a violation of Sunshine State law. During the board's discussion of President Diaz's employment, they should provide further information on how the decision was, on how the decision to appoint him was made, and what conversations were held outside the previous board meeting.
Yeah, and by the way, you and I know the audio is weird. It was just in the, you know, when you're doing Zoom meetings, you get weird stuff. Okay, but it's not necessarily a violation of Sunshine. Even for example, if the governor called every single member of the Board of Trustees and said, here's what I want you to do, and if you don't do it, I'm going to remove you. That's not a Sunshine violation. It's bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's not a Sunshine violation. The Sunshine violation would be if, for example, records get destroyed. I mean, that's really more of a Public Records Act violation. They are two separate things. But it'd be if, you know, Adam Kissel and Zach Smith and Rebecca Matthews all got together and talked to each other about what to do in the meeting. That would be a Sunshine violation. And there's no evidence that that happened. I mean, you'd have to be, I mean, completely ignoring the evidence to think that there wasn't a coordinated effort to produce all the results we've been getting. I mean, that's obvious. But that's not a Sunshine violation. Nor is it, weirdly, even illegal. It's just ugly, right? And that's part of the problem. But still, she goes on.
I would also like to remind the board that under Sunshine State law, an intermediary who carries messages related to board business between trustees outside of official meetings is not permitted, and any incidents of this should be disclosed and rectified.
And that's true, too. You can't be used as an intermediary. Again, think of local politics, okay? If the DC, Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, wants to go talk to every single one of the members of city council and tell them, here's what I would like to see happen. Perfectly allowed. not even a violation of sunshine in the smallest way. If, however, he were to say, and please understand I'm speaking hypothetically here, if he was talking to, for example, I don't know, Jared Moore, and he says, Jared, this is what I want you to do. I just got done talking to Charles. He says he's going to vote against it. I need you to vote up on this. And then he goes to Jennifer Brer and says, all right, Jen, you're the swing vote. Charles is a no. Jared's a yes. I need you to be a yes. That's a sunshine violation because he's serving as the intermediary to facilitate a meeting. The technical term here is that he's creating a meeting outside of public notice, public comment. There's another public record. You got to transcribe it. There's a couple of key elements to what makes a legitimate public meeting at which the stuff can be discussed. But just talking to Charles and Jen and Jared, perfectly allowed. Same thing for the governor or a governor's designated person, you know, to text message with them or email to them or talk with them is perfectly allowed. What they can't do is say, this is what this person says and this is what that person says and here's what I need you to do in response to all of that. So, yes, they cannot be an intermediary, but they can be a common speaker, if that makes sense. In fact, by the way, there's all these – the rules about the sunshine are very annoying. And I'll give you another example of something that's actually not a sunshine violation. Let's imagine that Rebecca Matthews – now, I'm not. This did not happen, okay, as far as we know. I mean, I suppose it could have happened, but, there's no evidence that this happened. Literally, Rebecca Matthews could send an email – to all of the other DeSantis appointees. I mean, she'd be smart to not include Lonzie Scott and Susan James, and right? Okay, but let's say she sent an email to all the other and said, here's what I think about this upcoming thing. Don't respond. One-way communication does not constitute a meeting. It has to come back to her. That's another, it's a peculiarity, but it is true. If there's no reciprocal communication, there's actually no meeting. Now, does it violate the spirit of the Sunshine Law? Oh, sure. Does it violate the Sunshine Law? It does not. So anyway, it's a weird law. So Demonte Turner Ward raises, I think, the right concerns, but in the end, there's no evidence for the Sunshine Law violation. There was definitely coordination, but coordination itself is not a violation. So they go on with the meeting, and they have what I would describe as, the conversations. And one of the conversations was going to be about who's going to be the vice chair. Remember you had, his name now escapes me, the guy from Utah who was kind of forced out for his views. Anyway, he was the lead person. He was the chair, and then Rebecca Matthews was the vice chair. She becomes the chair, and now they got to have a vice chair. So Susan James, who is the Senate president, the faculty Senate representative, she says, well, I think it ought to be Lonzie Scott, who's again one of the holdovers.
I would like to nominate Lonzie Scott. We, Trustee Ross and I, were just talking about how complicated this system is, and I'm learning new things all the time. With this transitional period, I think it would be very beneficial to have a member of the board that has been here and can try to help this transition be a smooth one. So I nominate him.
All right. Thank you, Trustee James. Alonzi Scott, do you accept the nomination to serve as vice chair?
Yes.
And if you've been watching these meetings or hearing my coverage of them, you know that this is all for show. I mean, I don't mean that Susan James is all for show. I mean that the idea of nominating somebody who is not a DeSantis appointee, it's never going to happen. That's absolutely, and certainly not going to be Alonzi Scott, but because he's been the troublemaker. I mean, he's been the one asking questions. I thought very fair questions, very appropriate questions, expressing the frustration with this whole process. So, Scott Yenner, by the way, was the guy who had been the chair and then had basically resigned after all of the pressure. Then you have Zach Smith. Remember, Zach Smith is the attorney who has been put on the PSC board and is now also on the UWF board, which is a little weird. But he is also one of the, attack agents. You know, he's one of the people that does DeSantis's dirty work on the board, in my opinion. He was one of the key ones challenging Martha Saunders and, creating stress and problems. And I haven't seen anything from him that I think has been great so far. I was a supporter of his to go on the PSC board because he seemed like he had all the credentials. And then once he's on the UWF board, I'm like, oh, buyer's remorse. that's what I have.
Chair Matthews, I nominate Trustee Young for vice chair.
Okay, thank you, Trustee Smith. Trustee Young, do you accept the nomination as vice chair?
Yes.
Yeah, so Chris Young is one of the ones who's from DeSantis. So when you think about what's going to happen in the voting, he's definitely going to win. The only question is whether the DeSantis people would get everybody on board or whether the holdovers would still vote for somebody who has, you know, some experience past January, which, you know, none of them have. And some of them are even newer than that.
All right.
Because it's a Zoom meeting, they don't do the voting like by hand or in person or even by ballot. They do it like over email. So they email and count their vote, and then we find out the totals.
All right. Trustee Scott received 4 votes, and Trustee Young received 8 votes.
Surprise!
Trustee Young.
To nobody.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There you go. So the DeSantis people continue to be completely in charge. Rebecca Matthews is the chair, and Chris Young is the vice chair. Now, and one of the other elements of this was going to be the evaluation of Martha Saunders so as to decide whether to give her a performance bonus or not. And keep in mind that Martha Saunders is universally acknowledged to have been an outstandingly effective president. And yet, of course, it was clearly the goal of Governor DeSantis or his people. I don't know who's in charge for sure, but, you know, or his people, whoever's running the show, to move her out in order to make a vacancy so that Manny Diaz could be put in. Shoved in, however you want to call it. OK. And so it knowing that she has now resigned after the pressure and after the clarity that this was obviously the intent of the governor's office, to hear all this praise of her is so... anyway,
what I've observed and learned and, talked to President Saunders about over the past several months. So I would say she's had a commendable year of service and appreciate everything that she's put towards it. And I also recommend that we give her the full 20% increase or bonus incentive bonus that is within her contract. So that's make sure I have the number right. Based on everything, it's $107,255. So we appreciate all of her work.
She's not just good. She's so good that we're going to give her her maximum performance bonus of a 20% bump. She's outstanding. And in fact, we're going to vote for this unanimously, which would seem, again, like this kind of performance would be what you would want in maybe, I don't know, an interim president. You know, because if she's resigned and then you got to have somebody before you have a nationwide search, you got to have an interim. Well, it seems like the right interim would be the person that you know can do the job, is not controversial, is eager to do it and willing to do it. And the only answer we've ever had from Rebecca Matthews about Martha Saunders being the interim is, well, you know, I didn't really, we didn't really talk about that. Which is the most non-answer ever. Because, you know, that's the most obvious solution. Why would we do that? Well, we wouldn't do that if our goal was to put Manny Diaz in charge, right? I mean, again, this is, I've said this so many times, I feel like I'm just a broken record, but I don't have any problem per se with Manny Diaz. I've always liked him when he was a senator. I've liked him as Secretary of Education. But this is not how you do things. This is a completely inappropriate way to do things. And the lack of transparency, and I'll just call it a fact. I suppose it's an opinion, but... the fact that all of this was coordinated towards this result is infuriating for people who care about our university. And remember, you know, I'm a Argo dad. I have two one who went there, one who is going there, and one who's probably going to go there. So it's very, very frustrating. Anyway, so they did that, and then they had this big glowing proclamation for her. You know, she's so wonderful. She's the best. She made everything fantastic. And they made her president emeritus, you know. And she's going to go back to teaching, by the way, Martha Saunders. Which is good. But again, if she's so fantastic and so amazing, and she is, and she has been, then why not just ask the question, would you like to be interim? You know, would you consider being interim until we can, and again, this is because it's not part of the plan. So 437-1620, there's another part to this whole conversation. We'll come back to this at 7 o'clock. You'll enjoy that part. I don't have any Milton City Council Melodrama Theater music for the Board of Trustees for the UWF, but I may have to find some. I may have to find some. By the way, the other news that's happened since this meeting is that the governor not only has put Zach Smith in both boards for PSC and UWF, which I still think is super weird, but he has also put Ed Fleming on both, because Ed was on PSC and also now on UWF. And I don't have any objection to that. I mean, Ed's a great... I mean, who could object to Ed Fleming? Ed Fleming is brilliant. He's widely respected. He's one of the most capable local attorneys that we have and a decent man by all accounts, okay? And, you know, in the interactions I've had with him, fantastic. So, no problem. I do think it's weird you'd have anybody on both boards, and now we have two on both boards. And then he's also, the governor has also reappointed, you know, remember Adam Kissel, who was part of the controversy for some of his views, and then the Senate basically said no to him, and the governor, because he has this power, it's the weirdest system ever, the governor put him back on the board. Now, I've said this many times also, and I just want to be clear if you haven't listened to me before, but I like Adam Kissel. I think he's a smart addition to the board. I think that he brings a lot of perspective and knowledge. A couple of times I have found him annoying in the line of questions that he pursues, but even the other board members have admitted and acknowledged that he brings capabilities to the board that they don't have otherwise. I like him, and I think he gives good answers. I think he's thoughtful and whatever. I like him as an addition to the board. But this is not how you do things. There's got to be a process. No matter how good somebody is, if they say no, you shouldn't reappoint him. So I object to him being back on the board, even though I like, as an outcome, I like him being on the board. But outcomes and processes both matter. And the governor has clearly given the, you know, what would Ryan Jenkins say? You know, he didn't use all his fingers. You know, he waved at the UWF Board of Trustees and the Senate, the Florida State Senate, and he only used the one finger. And said, Adam Kissel's back on there. Not good. Not right. Very inappropriate. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info's protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Anyone who's an enemy of evil is a friend of mine.
Mandingo, how I grok your mouth music.
Loving Rockets fan, John?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
I know. It's so good. Oh, it's such a great song. 528 on News Radio 92.3. And you got to love the name. Yin and Yang and the Flower Pot Man is the name of that song. It's such a great name. Oh, man. I'm driving down the road in my convertible. I'm heading to a beach volleyball match. This is... Was it taking me back a couple of years?
The convertible Ford Pinto?
No, stop. It.
I had to ask.
Pinto, not that old. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's all the headlines.
All right, good. No, thanks, John. Thanks, David.
Lawmakers are getting briefed starting today. On the airstrikes in Iran, the Senate receives a classified briefing today. with the House set to follow on Friday. This comes after leaked intelligence reports say the strikes only delayed Iran's nuclear program by a few months and possibly did not destroy it, as has been claimed.
And we're going to, by the way, we're supposed to get a press conference from Pete Hegseth this morning at 7 o'clock our time, so we'll carry that, assuming it happens at that
time.
But, you know, the White House is now saying, and Iran is now saying, you know, utter devastation, total destruction, big damage. I don't know if Iran is the most credible source on anything, because it would certainly serve their interests if they kept a lot of stuff to make it seem like everything got destroyed.
Absolutely.
I mean, right, Iran's like, no, we don't have any more nuclear material at all. All the centrifuges and the scientists are dead. Nothing to see here.
Devastated.
Yeah. So, was that it? You're not going to talk about the yellow dress lady?
No.
At the NATO summit? By the way, NATO now pledging 5% GDP spend. Well, it's actually 3.5%, and then the percent and a half is on, like, roads and infrastructure. But 3.5% is a massive upgrade from 2% of core military spending previously.
Fox News. I'm CJ Pop. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth will deliver a major news conference at 8 a.m. Eastern from the Pentagon from President Trump on Truth Social, who's upset over reports that the strikes from Midnight Hammer on Iran's nuke sites missed the mark.
The site was obliterated, just like I said it was, and just like the pilots should be given credit for.
President Trump says those news stories misrepresented the facts. 10 reported tornadoes in parts of southern Minnesota. No reports of injuries or major damage. Parts of Twin Cities dealing with flash flooding after heavy rain.
I didn't expect that there was going to be that much water.
More rain in the forecast today and waiting for decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court, including one concerning nationwide injunctions blocking President Trump's executive orders. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. I'm David Wayne. It is 71 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Officials in Santa Rosa County say they've identified three kids that were throwing rocks, concrete blocks, and bricks off of an overpass at vehicles driving on I-10. Those kids are identified as being 10, 12, and 17 years old. Two are brothers. One's a cousin.
I don't know if they fully understood the extent of trouble they were into. I can assure you they do now.
That is Major Todd Bobie from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, who says the kids have confessed to throwing debris off of the Jones Road overpass. Incidents range from January to June of this year. Multiple victims have reported damage to their vehicles. An investigation is ongoing. The Sheriff's Office says they're working on arrest warrants for those kids. Well, meteorologists are tracking four tropical waves in the Atlantic. This is as the first named storm of the season has fizzled out. Officials say they're expecting an active season, though.
Regardless of the numbers, our preparedness efforts here in Florida, the hurricane capital of the country, should always be the same. We get prepared, end of story, regardless of how many storms are being predicted.
And it's meteorologist Eric Salna. The National Weather Service does say they're expecting anywhere up to 19 storms this hurricane season. An annual audit of Citizens, the property insurer of last resort for the state, shows the company's financial health has now started to turn the corner.
Up until this point, since I've been on this board, we've been in crisis mode.
Yep.
And it's been about glide path, getting rate, tort reform, fixing things, and we're in a spot to do that.
And that is board member Charlie Leidecker, who says thanks to litigation reform in 2022 and depopulation of thousands of policyholders, the company is now financially stable. Despite the policy cutbacks, Citizens is still the primary property insurer across the state of Florida. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis says alligator Alcatraz is something that's needed in the state. That, of course, the nickname of a detention facility for illegal immigrants that's being built in the Everglades near Miami-Dade County. Florida's attorney general says the federal government has approved funding to build it. The DeSantis administration insists the jails are getting overcrowded. They say the land where it's being built is virtually abandoned. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. On Friday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping rain chances around on Saturday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 71 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The SEC says President Trump will control the so-called golden share. That's part of the national security agreement under which he allowed Japan-based Nippon Steel to buy out iconic American steelmaker U.S. Steel. The provision gives the president the power to appoint a board member and have a say in company decisions. Micron has reported better than expected earnings and revenue and issued a forecast that also topped analysts' estimates. The stock initially popped in extended trading before paring most of its gains. Micron said revenue in the current period, its fiscal fourth quarter, will be about $10.7 billion, which is up 38% from a year earlier. NVIDIA shares continued to rally yesterday and closed at a record high as investors gained confidence that China exports controls won't dampen the company's prospects in AI. The stock is up about 14% in June after jumping 24% last month and finished at an all-time high for the first time since January. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Summer's here, and it's the perfect time to tackle those DIY projects. At the Pensacola Habitat Restore, you'll find unbeatable deals on furniture, home goods, tools, and more. Whether you're upcycling, redecorating, or just hunting for that perfect piece, they've got what you need at prices that won't break the bank. Plus, every purchase helps build affordable homes right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Swing by the Restore Tuesday through Saturday at 9th Avenue and Creighton Road, and let your summer project begin.
Hi, this is Ildi Hossman. I'm a volunteer with the Pensacola Chamber. Tune in Tuesday, July 1st at 10:30 to hear all about the 4th of July celebration happening downtown with our guest Anna Loches, president of the Pensacola Young Professionals, and Brent Lane from Cat Country 98.7. Hear all about the activities and the spectacular fireworks show synchronized on Cat Country 98.7. That's Tuesday, July 1st at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Explore a wide range of local and fresh produce at the Saturday Farmers Market in Navarre from 10 till 2 at South 87 and Segura Corner. Summer Saturdays, live band performances continue with free shows from noon till 4 at The Garden at Perfect Plain on Garden Street. This week, check out the band Caviar Waves. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you survive the hail yesterday? I know we didn't have it at our house. We were right on the edge of the storm, and so it went from nothing to sudden and then nothing again. But in Milton, what were you telling me, John? You got it both directions?
Like it, I got it in both. Like storm it went from one way, west to east.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then by like 7 or 8 o'clock, it turned around and came east to west.
I'm not finished here.
No, exactly. That's what we felt like.
And so, how big was the hail at your house?
Like half dollar size hail.
Good Lord, golf ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, right. It was like,
how'd your car do? How'd your car do?
I don't know. It was dark.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll learn later today, won't we?
Yes, we will.
All right. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Matt Coughlin. DC Reeves on vacation, so we had a chance to talk to airport director Matt Coughlin, who, by the way, Matt has had a really interesting career. You know, he used to be the commanding officer at Whiting. People forget. You know, it's funny because they know him as in the government. But if you think about it, a guy who's the airport director, formerly the director of Whiting, or the CEO of Whiting, that kind of makes sense. But in between, he was actually the assistant county administrator at Escambia County. He was, I couldn't ever remember whether he was the actual admin or not, but he was for a very brief time. Remember when it was kind of like, all right, who's next? Who's next? We're rotating, you know, it's like musical chairs at the county a couple of years ago, several years ago. And he was briefly the interim county administrator. And now, of course, he is the airport director at Pensacola International Airport. We talked with him yesterday. Matt, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Let's talk about what I think is one of the more interesting things coming up, not real soon, but relatively soon, is that you guys are going to close down one of your runways, the east-west layout runway for repair work. Is that right?
That's correct. So, you know, typically we have two runways, our north-south runway and our east-west runway. They're both the same length. Our north-south is concrete, which lasts a lot longer. The east-west runway is asphalt. And with asphalt, it has a lifespan a little less than the concrete. So we have about 20 years on it. So what we're doing is basically rehabilitating the entire runway. And while we're at it, we're going to be adding some construction to help our stormwater facilities on the airport with some piping underneath the runway. So that runway is going to be closed for a while.
Like almost a year, right? Like 300 days, I think. Isn't that what you said before?
Exactly. 320 days construction timeline. So that's going to start here, probably here in October. And so I think for the public, what you're going to notice maybe is aircraft are going to be landing north-south. And so it's not going to be alternating the patterns as much. So you're going to see a lot more traffic to the north and south.
So if you're used to watching planes or seeing them come in over Baptist or over Scenic, that won't happen for almost a year, but they will be happening over the Walmart and over, you know, the south end of the bridge and that kind of stuff all the time. Now, so question about that, and you're the expert on these things. It seems like that would create some inefficiency because on high crosswind days, I mean, if the wind is blowing east and west and you're only able to use a north-south runway, that would seem to be either a logistical challenge or a safety hazard or something of the both, and that would seem to affect operations at least sometimes.
Sure. So on those days, you know, with real high winds, you might have some issues, and every aircraft is different, has different crosswind limits. And at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, the pilots being able to fly with crosswinds, which you're trained to do. There's plenty of airports around the country that have a single runway and are limited to a single runway. And if you want to say it, they're hostage to the winds. And but it's not crazy out of the ordinary. A lot of times, if you have a runway closed for maintenance, you have to use the other runway, and that's just the way it is. You know, they mitigate the risk, and there's really no issues because pilots are trained to do it.
Okay. And I figure it's a sort of an efficiency issue, because if there weren't efficiency gains to be had in having two runways, you wouldn't have two runways, right? And maybe being able to land and take off into the wind, that's got a benefit to it. But I'm going to ask you, like, super dumb third grader question, and I'm curious because I don't know the answer to this. The more I think about it, the more it bothers me. The two runways cross in the middle. So you have a middle space that is shared use, therefore it gets degraded, I assume, twice as fast as any of the other portions of the runways. That would seem to be a logistics problem. And then how do you repair that, since you can't close down both runways at the same time? How does that work?
It's actually a great question. So that part of our intersection will be repaired, but what they do is they do it at night when we're closed, or we'll close the airport for a minimal amount of time to do work in that, what we call the intersection area. I'll give you an example, and I always use San Diego as an example. Very busy airport, single runway. They had to resurface that runway. So you can imagine the traffic going into that airport, pretty large metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they literally had four-hour windows every night to completely rehabilitate that runway. And they had to go out there, they had to mill, they had to overlay, then they had to clean it up, and they had to do it in four-hour windows for well over a year. It's pretty interesting.
I can't even logistically imagine, because my experience of making new roads is the FDOT experience. It does not seem to be quite that efficient. So, okay, interesting. Oh, just one more detail-y question. You mentioned the asphalt degrades faster. It's not as durable as the concrete. Are you upgrading to concrete, or are you just maintaining the asphalt on the east-west runway?
We're just rebuilding the asphalt.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong. I mean, it still lasts for 20 years, 20-plus years.
Got it.
So it's a suitable material, obviously.
Very good. Cell phone lot is operational. Last time you and I talked, that was still either under construction or in the planning, but it's been operational for a little while now, right?
It is. It's a great tool for us because it alleviates some of the traffic on our curb. And given today's, you know, the environment, everything that's going on, we're trying to be a little bit more secure on our curb front. And, you know, we're trying to avoid any loitering. But in order to do that, you have to have somewhere to put folks. And so that cell phone lot, when you come into the airport, is really a great option to pull in, wait for whoever you're going to pick up, and just wait for that call on the cell phone, go get them.
Yeah, it is true. Most, and I am not by any stretch at this point in my life a seasoned air traveler, but some experience that I do have is that at airports, it seems to me like it's usually a very transient thing. You know, you come in, you drop off, you go. The cars are always moving in and out, and there's always plenty of spaces because of that. Our airport is a little bit more like Palafox, you know, where people come and hang out and it's congested and they wait a long time and there's not as much motion and there's not as much turnover and there's not as much empty spaces because of that. So the cell phone lot solves both that and also the security issue, right?
Yeah, and we just want people moving. It's a, you know, we call it an active pickup or drop off area, active being the key word. We don't want anyone just hanging out and it's just not it's not safe. It's not secure. And not only that, it creates an environment for congestion up there where we don't want it.
Matt, I know the toll bridge continues to set records as we have more and more visitors coming to our beaches. I'm assuming that a lot of those visitors are coming through the airport, and the numbers still continue to be up and up and up every year, right?
Correct. So fiscal year to date, we're up about 4%. I'm seeing this month it's a little soft in the sense that compared to last year, but last year we had a growth rate of 15%, which is crazy. So, yeah, we're still growing, and we're going to have to meet that demand. So we don't see things changing that much.
Just, again, anecdotal evidence. When I drive by the relatively recently paved, the old grassy knoll lot that's now the paved lot on 12th Avenue Tippin, when I drive past there, usually it seems pretty full. I don't see very many cars up in the triangle, the super overflow lot, but you tell me, how is the parking working?
So we're pretty full. If I were to look at, I get a daily status report. We're in the 80 percentile for filling all our lots. We haven't had to turn anyone away. We only open that one up off what we call McAllister. If we go to capacity, then we'll open that, but we haven't had to open that, so fortunately. So we do have plans to add on to that same lot that you just spoke of. We're in design now to add another 400 stalls just north of there. So
to the McAllister Triangle lot?
Building. No, that would be north of the long-term lot that we just built.
Oh, okay, the Tippin one, the 12th. Okay, all right.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, well, so that's great. Okay.
You're going to get another 400 spots in there. So we're always moving forward, building and expanding, and just to try to meet that demand.
Other projects that are going on at the airport, Hangar 3 and 4. Every time I drive by there, Hangar 3, there's more done. It's amazing how quickly that went up. And you guys are actually getting ready to do the top out, right?
We are today, actually. They're going to be putting the top beam into to Hangar 3 there. And like you just said, you know, I go by there all the time and I'm like, holy cow. One, it's going up quick, but two, just the massive size of it.
Yeah, it's enormous. And there's going to be another hangar after that. And, you know, it's what, a year ago, it was all trees. I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy. And anyway, it's very interesting to see the growth of ST Engineering Aerospace and their operational stuff there. You have a couple of programs I did want to talk about. One, you were telling me, we were talking off the air. The Hidden Disability Program is kind of interesting. What is this?
Yeah, the Sunflower Program, it's a great program. Those with hidden disabilities that come through the airport, you know, it's an assistance program where you can come to the airport and basically it's a lanyard you wear and it has a little sunflower on it. And it tells our staff and TSA staff and a lot of the airlines that, hey, look, we might just need some extra patience or help with this customer to get them through the process and just make it a smoother transition for those that have hidden disabilities, whether they're on the autistic spectrum or it's a hearing issue. It could be anything. So it's really just something to indicate to our staff that, hey, let's just watch over this person or group of people and let's help them. And it gathers their attention. Everyone's trained up in the program. And we partner with all our partners here at the airport, airlines, TSA, on the program.
I love the concept. Of course, it aligns with so many other agencies, like the sheriff's departments in both counties are working on this kind of stuff. But it does give me a little bit of a funny slice is, you know, not all the people that need extra patients have a disability. They're just, you know, troublesome.
True.
It seems to me
we
like
get a lot of that
like,
too.
Like maybe we could get like a, you know, a dandelion lanyard for John Pickens, you know, when he travels to the airport, because, you know, he's, you know, he needs a little extra attention. So, it seems like there could be certain passengers that it might be beneficial for your staff to know that trouble's coming. Not of the kind that, you know, the disability kind, but of the other kind, you know. So I know that's not going to happen, but I.
Yes, there's always some interesting things that take place here with folks coming through. You know, it's a tough environment. You know,
it
people
is.
Are anxious and
stressed.
Some
yeah.
deal with it differently than others, you know.
People act out, even in regular life and certainly at the airport. Last thing I wanted to ask you about is with Silver Airlines going, and pardon me, I still always get it. It's Silver, not Spirit, right? Spirit's still here. I don't know why two airlines that are budget airlines would both use S short names, single word names for their, but whatever, people make their choices. So Silver has gone away or is going away and Spirit is not. But how is that affecting you? I assume in your mind is no big deal because people are always looking for you to have ramp space, right?
Right. So Silver accounted for maybe 3% of our seats in and out of the airport here. They were flying Orlando, Tampa. They had to sell all their assets during bankruptcy. I don't know, not all of them, but a vast majority of them. So that cut out the Orlando flight here about a month ago. And then they whittled down to Tampa, and then they just they couldn't survive financially.
Okay.
There was another company that has since bought them, but they have decided to move on, sell assets. So basically what we have left is – their spaces, ticket counters, and frankly, I can use them. And we have other interested parties here, airlines that are interested in coming here. So,
got it.
For us, it's not going to be, it won't be, it'll be pretty transparent.
Hey, I did say last thing, but actually, this is last thing. You recently had one of the T6s from Whiting had to make what they called a hard landing at the airport. And this is, I mean, pretty intimate for you because you used to be the CO at Whiting. And, of course, now you're basically the CO at the airport. By all accounts, this it's a bad thing to have happen, but it went as smoothly as it can. And I just, you know, your thoughts about how that was handled, what you learned from the experience and, you know, what people should think about this incident.
You know, it was unfortunate. Fortunately, everyone was safe. No one was hurt. So first and foremost. The aircraft, you know, landed and it just, we talked about the intersection earlier. It went just past the intersection, so we didn't have to close the airport. We did for a few minutes, but we were able to continue operations. No issue there. Like I said, they were safe. Interesting partnership here, though. Our aircraft rescue and firefighters train on their own, I might add, on things don't. When you have a military aircraft that has an issue, there's certain things you have to be cautious about that other aircraft don't have. For example, ejection seats. Our ARF team has gone out, trained on their own, and those can be, they have to be pinned, they have to be safetied when you have an incident like that, because an ejection seat can be very dangerous, obviously, especially for an aircraft that just had a mishap. So everyone was trained. And so what I learned, lesson learned from it all, is those partnerships or those training efforts to go the extra mile are so important in this type of environment. And so some lessons learned on our part, and we're going to continue to train. And for every partner that comes here to the airport, be able to keep them safe and keep the operation moving on.
No, that's, I had never thought about that, but it makes perfect sense as you explain it that there are differences, especially with the ejection seats. Matt Coughlin, he is the director of the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon, and keep up the great work.
Great.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a business owner, you have employees, you have to handle benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, you know, manage HR, manage payroll, all the fun stuff. Like when you get up in the morning, like, yeah, I get to, nobody. There's nobody who says that. Well, I take it back. There's one couple of people who say that, the folks who work at Torgerson Causey, because they literally got into business to do that stuff. The stuff you hate, they love. They're good at, they enjoy it. And that's why you should call them and help yourself by letting them help you do the stuff you hate to do and free you up to do the stuff that you love to do. They're good at it. They've been doing it for us here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 4 years. And, you know, we switched to them, and I'll tell you, the plans are better. The options, the price is better. I mean, they're not miracle workers. They can't make things happen in a marketplace that has really been ruined over the years, but they do the best of what's available. And I have great confidence in them for that. And they're fantastic at customer service. Like, they always get back to us. If they know, they know. If they don't know, they'll find out. They get good answers, and they satisfy my industrial engineer wife, who always asks hard questions and is usually doesn't get great answers. But from them, she's like, oh, they're fantastic. We love them. Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years helping local businesses manage all their benefits. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Spring cleaning and remodeling is in the air, and at Jonathan's Flooring, you can get your beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation with a large selection of tile, carpet, and the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors this spring. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring, North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
Aye, Captain.
Middle of a binge right now. I'm watching all the not the classic sub movies like Run Silent, Run Deep, or Torpedo Run. I'm watching, you know, all the newer ones
like
K-19 and Hunt for Red October, yeah. Crimson Tide.
You know, oh like, yeah.
I will say I'm actually right now I'm watching K-19 Widowmaker, and it is It is pretty weird to see Liam Neeson and Harrison Ford play Russian sub-captains. That's just not your standard casting choice. But it is Catherine Bigelow, and so you know it's a good movie. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. Closing arguments begin today in the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Prosecutors dropped several charges yesterday, including attempted kidnapping and arson, but Combs does still face serious accusations, including racketeering, conspiracy, and sex trafficking.
Trying to artificially create a monopoly on baby oil?
Something like that.
Antitrust
yeah.
case there. Go on.
Tesla sales are down in Europe for the fifth straight month. The electric automaker sold 14,000 vehicles across the continent in May. That's a 28% drop from the previous year.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update.